It's Wednesday, June 17th. Here's what's happening in Northeast Indiana. On Tuesday, Fort Wayne City Council discussed the three resolutions brought by 2nd District Councilman Russ Yale surrounding data centers. Former Indianapolis Mayor Greg Ballard's campaign for Secretary of State is nearing the 37,000 signatures required to appear on the ballot. And Indiana is participating in the Great American State Fair, one of President Trump's marquee events for celebrating the country's 250th birthday. I'm Brianna Barrow, and this is Who and What. On Tuesday, Fort Wayne City Council discussed the three resolutions brought by 2nd District Councilman Russ Yale surrounding data centers. The first ordinance asked for the creation of a task force to evaluate quality of life issues surrounding the existing Google data center and any other data centers that may be proposed in the future. That resolution was tabled for 3 weeks. The next two resolutions asked for more information about the Google data center and its financial impact, one specifically related to its compliance with the Economic Development Agreement and the terms of the tax abatement. The final resolution asked for more information about where the money from the sale of the land would be spent. Yale withdrew those two resolutions after city development officials said more information would be forthcoming. Former Indianapolis Mayor Greg Ballard's campaign for Secretary of State is nearing the 37,000 signatures needed to appear on the ballot. WFYI's Ben Thorpe reports the former Republican is running as an independent and has vowed to offer an alternative to the state's two, quote, broken, end quote, political parties.
Ballard's campaign announced they submitted over 35,000 signatures ahead of the June 30th submission deadline. Ballard says his message to offer an alternative to Democrats and Republicans is resonating with voters he's spoken to.
The two parties have a stranglehold on the voters right now and have a stranglehold on the citizens. That has to change.
Ballard says he is not running as a spoiler for either party, but is running to win. He says his campaign will submit well over the necessary signatures as a precaution in case some get thrown out. I'm Ben Thorpe in Indianapolis.
The Indiana University trustees approved a $4.7 billion budget late last week. WFIU's Ethan Sandweiss reports it's continuing last year's cuts to compensate for a reduction in government funds.
Despite lower state appropriations, the budget grew slightly from last year due to higher tuition for out-of-state students. Employees will get a salary adjustment between 1.5 and 3%, which Chief Financial Officer Jason Dudich says was made possible by cuts in other areas.
Many campuses and administrative units made reductions in spending to offset that increase or generated new revenue through tuition and fees and growth in enrollment.
Trustees also voted on changes to the retirement plan, but did not explain what those would be. Board Chair David Hormuth said the changes were laid out in the appendix to the meeting agenda, which was not released prior to the public session. For WFIU News, I'm Ethan Sandweiss.
Indiana is participating in the Great American State Fair, one of President Trump's marquee events for celebrating the country's 250th birthday. WFYI's Caroline Beck has more on the unveiling of the state's exhibit Monday.
Children from the Indiana Boys and Girls Club got to snack on popcorn and cotton candy while listening to the Circle City Sidewalk Stompers band. The nod to Indiana State Fair is what spectators will experience at the National Mall as part of the 250th celebration. Indiana's exhibit will show off 5 mini golf courses displaying some of the state's cultural landmarks, including the Indy 500. Executive Director of the State Fair Commission, Ray Allison, says the idea was to bring a piece of Indiana State Fair tradition to the nation's capital.
This mini golf course was inspired by the FFA golf course at the State Fair. So we're tying in our state fair to what we're doing in D.C.
The Great American State Fair will run from June 25th to July 10th. I'm Caroline Beck in Indianapolis.
County historian Randy Harder and local documentarian Dan Baker have just published a book titled Lindenwood Cemetery, Fort Wayne. Here, the authors discuss the history behind this distinguished landmark with WBOI's Julia Meek, the role of garden cemeteries in the 19th century, and some of Lindenwood's most notable occupants.
Randy Harter, Dan Baker, welcome.
Hello. Well,
thank you.
Congratulations on your new read, and you two published Fort Wayne Through Time in 2018. What prompted this new adventure through Lindenwood Cemetery?
Lindenwood has always been a fascinating place for me, and Randy asked me out for lunch, and he goes, hey, what do you think about doing a book? And I'm like, okay, and because I figured Fort Wayne Through Time was a one and done, and that's what we always joked about. I asked him about what it would be about, and he said, well, Lindenwood, and right there. And my interest was picked. It's something I wanted to do.
And you were familiar then with the site and its meaning and its scope.
I've walked the grounds and photographed it for years.
So dying is a necessary stage of life, and Fort Wayne has over 40 respected cemeteries, large and small. Why did Lindenwood call your name, Randy, and how did it differ from the rest of those cemeteries?
Well, it certainly wasn't Fort Wayne's first cemetery. The first cemetery was actually attached to Anthony Wayne's fort down on Berry Street, but it's the most historic cemetery, and it's such a beautiful place that it's hard not to love it.
Yeah, I agree. I like it because a lot of the other cemeteries are based on Lutheran, Catholic, whatnot. In this place, it doesn't matter. Lindenwood, it takes everybody.
Everybody's welcome.
Everyone's welcome.
Anybody that can write the check.
That is another good point. Now, your approach, both of your volumes are very clever and compelling. How and why did you come up with this particular format covering the custom and the site itself and its residents?
Dan and I thought rather than featuring images of the people who were interred there, that it would be a lot more interesting to show the variety and styles and types of headstones that are out there because they cover such a large gamut. So that's where we launched off at.
Okay, how many are interred there?
74,442 as of October when we went to publish.
And your book features images of 150 of those grave sites, along with the profiles of those interred. So out of all of those residents, how did you arrive at only 150?
Well, there were a lot of folks out there that may not have had their due, so to speak. Maybe they weren't a big business owner or something to that effect, but they had their own contributions they had made. So we wanted to try to include as many people like that as well.
I agree with Dan. We tried to be inclusive. The book only would hold 150 images, but there was a number of people that we felt we needed to recognize anyway. So in the back, we put an in memoriam section where we listed another 75 people that we just felt they needed to be mentioned.
That's thoughtful.
But we went through thousands
looking
at obituaries and trying to determine, okay, should we use this one or not? It was very subjective. Anybody who would do this book would have a different list.
Okay, so let's resume your own treasure hunt, because you were writing your book, photographing the book.
Okay.
We've got these sites. What else do we see there?
When you're out there, you see the remains of sunken gardens that Henry Doswell was responsible for installing around 1918. You have winding paths. You have the garden mausoleums, the big structures.
You have beautiful mature trees approaching 200 years old, which just adds a whole bucolic, majestic feeling to the cemetery.
A slice of a different time, in
yes.
a way.
Yeah.
County historian Randy Harter and documentarian Dan Baker are authors of Lindenwood Cemetery, Fort Wayne. Thanks for sharing this story of your notable adventure. Very well done, guys. Carry it on.
Thank you so much, Julia.
Thank you,
Bye.
Julia.
Find an extended version of this conversation at WBOI.org/news. More news in a moment.
Support for WBOI comes from Heartland Sings, presenting their summer season, performing family-friendly music at Fort Wayne Parks, Sundays at 3 p.m. Heartland Sings, changing lives through song. Details at heartlandsings.org/events.
Here's what to know for today. Indiana's Attorney General Todd Rokita signed onto a letter with 13 other states that claims abortion-inducing drug mifepristone poses a risk to the water supply, but medical experts say there is no evidence to support those claims. About 150 people from different states across the Midwest traveled to the Clay County Jail Sunday, where U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement detainees are being held to hold a multi-faith vigil focused on Palestinian native and activist Salah Sarsour. And a bill authored by U.S. Representative Rudy Yacom would expand the use of Amber Alerts. That's Who and What for Wednesday, June 17th. These stories and more can be found at WBOI.org or on the WBOI app. Subscribe to Who and What on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can ask your smart speaker to play Who and What. If you enjoy this podcast, you'll also enjoy our newsletter, Frequency, at WBOI.org/frequency. Music for Who and What is produced by Jack Ankenbruck. From all of us at WBOI, thanks for being with us and have a great rest of your day.